This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Things. Right, let's start with this. We're lucky, so the piece of Gemara is very easy and it's very defined and short, so we can have a straightforward shiur. Omar Abaye, Reuven Shemochar Sode L'Shimin B'Achrayus. Simon, I think you're probably one of the best prepared people here. How many times have you done this Gemara now?
About
10 times you've done it. In shiur. 10 times in shiur.
Well, we started this last year with Rabbi Lennon. We did it about 4 times.
Plus a good 6 times this year.
Yes.
Okay, so you probably know better than anybody else what's doing it. Omar Abai, Reuven Shemocha Sode L'Shimon B'Achrayus. Reuven a seller, Shimon a buyer. A field is transferred from Reuven to Shimon with indemnity. In those days there weren't deeds offices and things like that, so if a person was buying a field, he was at risk that a Baal Chayv could come and take the field away. It could be an old Baal Chayv from a previous owner, it could go back generations. You were constantly at risk that your field could be taken away from you. And therefore the only way of being sure that you in fact had invested in an asset that had some value was by getting achrayus. You had to get indemnity from the seller that in the event of the field being taken away from you, he would compensate you. V'yato Baal Chayv de Reuven, and taka happens that the Baal Chayv of Reuven, the seller, comes v'toraf mishim, and he takes it away from Shimon. So Shimon is now without the money and without the field. He's paid for the field and he doesn't have a field anymore. Dinahu, it is proper, it is correct, it is in order. Dinahu does not mean it is required by the din. Dinahu is a phrase in the Gemara which means it's in order, it's okay. The ozil Reuven umishtoi dino bahadeh, that Reuven should go and enter into litigation with Levi the creditor. Why not? Why might I think not? Because Levi could say to Reuven, Lav bal dvorim didiat, you have nothing to do with me, and I have nothing to do with you. You don't have a material interest in this case. And one of the requirements of litigation is that the two litigants should both have material interest in the case. And Reuven has no material interest in the case. The field is in Shimon's hands. I've taken it from Shimon. Why? The Omale, because Reuven can respond. I mafkis mine olai hodo. I don't have any material interest in the case at this point, but the consequence of your taking it away from Reuven or from Shimon is going to be my loss of the cost of the value of the field. So I do have a material interest. There is money I stand to lose if you get away with the action you've just embarked upon. That's the first part of the Gemara, and that's the part that we're going to first deal with. Says Rashi. The kamishtoi dino bahade de bal chayv. The din is, or it is proper, says the Gemara, that he can enter into litigation with the bal chayv. Now by Rashi putting that word in there, who else could it be? What is Rashi telling us? Kamishtoi dino bahade de bal chayv. Of course the bal chayv. Who else is he going to get into litigation with? What's the litigation? Shimon will go into litigation with Reuven, but what's Reuven going to go into litigation with Shimon for? So what is who else could it be? Why does Rashi tell us the kamishtoy dina bahadei de bal chayiv? So it must be a bit of a chiddush that even though Taka is nobody else, it could be. It must be the bal chayiv, but that's already a chiddush that it's the bal chayiv. We'll see why in a moment. What is he going to try and achieve by this Mishtoy Dino Bahadei de Baal Chayv? The Salkoy Marisa Karko. His purpose is to get him out of the land, to actually remove the Baal Chayv from the property. That's his purpose, that's his intention. So Reuven is getting involved in litigation over the ownership of that property. Bidvorim. And his mechanism, his tool is verbal. Ah, that bidvorim is one of the most important words in the whole Rashi. What are the two ways that the Baal Chayv could get him out of the field, that Reuven could get him out of the field? What shtar can he have?
shtar is a would be a mechanism.
But what shtar could he have in such a situation? What would be a receipt that he's paid? Good. Okay. Let's not talk about the claim of I've paid, because that's part of the claim that Rashi is talking about. So the one way of getting him out of the field is to say, you have no claim on the field because your debt has been settled. That's the one way. Whether you use a shtar or dvorim or that will still come too. That's the one way. What's the other way you can get him out of the field? Momen. He can buy him out of the field. Why doesn't so Rashi says bidvorim, so that you should know that it's not b'momen. That this Gemara is talking specifically about the case where he talks him out of the field, not pays him out of the field. Does everybody agree with that? Is that a view held by all the Rishonim? Or let me ask you another question. Why does Rashi say that? Why dafka by dvorim and not by mom? Why is Rashi by dvorim? The salkum in asode, full stop. As Hugh says, why does it have to say by mom? Finished. Im yesh lo Reuven, let him carry on from there.
Well, if he wants to get him out through money, he can just go to the person personally. There doesn't have to be a law that says he is allowed to litigate against
him. Almost. You're emphasizing the fact that there's a law that allows him to litigate. That's not quite the point to emphasize. What's the point to emphasize in that phrase?
It isn't a law that prevents
him. No. That's not litigation. Payment is not litigation. Payment is the person comes and says, you owe me money, and I say, sure, here's the money. That's not litigation. So the loshen of kamishtoi dina implies that there's argument, that there's backwards and forwards, there's something to argue in front of a beis din. Whereas if it was the moment, that wouldn't be kamishtoi dina bahadeh. That's what Rashi wants us to understand, is the loshen of kamishtoi dina bahadeh. So if we look at the Rashi again, kamishtoi dina bahadeh, the bal chayv, the person is entering into, you would think that the litigation is between him and Shimon, because that's where the argument is going to be. If we're talking about litigation, where's the place for litigation? The Baal Chayv comes. Has the Baal Chayv got a shtar? He's got a shtar, so there's no place for litigation with him, lichoira. On the surface, there's no place for litigation. Somebody has to pay him, or he has to get the field. Where's the argument going to lie between Reuven and Shimon? No, says Rashi, what the Gemara is saying is there will be an argument in Beis Din between Reuven and the Baal Chayv. And if there's going to be an argument, it can't be a moment. It can't mean that Reuven's going to come along and say, here's the money, because that wouldn't be an argument. It must be that the argument is verbal, that he has a defense. Now we get into hot water. So what is his defense? Im yesh loy l'Reuven shum tviyo al bal choyvei loyma perosich. The only way it can be talking is if Reuven is going to claim that you've already been paid. In other words, if Lamaise, the Baal Chayv, is justified in his attachment of the property, then there's nothing. This Gemara is not talking about such a case, says Rashi. If Reuven knows that he's taka right, that he hasn't been paid, that's not the subject of this Gemara. So Rashi is limiting this Gemara to a case where, in the view of the Reuven, the Baal Chayv is telling a lie. That's the case that the Gemara is talking about. And now he can enter into litigation. And what is his litigation going to be, says Rashi? What, for what purpose? Lesalkui min hasode. To get him away from the field. That's going to be his purpose. Now what does Rashi go on to say? The kaimulam b'masecha shavuos. The afal gav de nokit shtaro. Even though the Baal Chayv has a shtar. I omar li yishtova li delui perosicho bo yishtavui. If he says, swear to me that I have not paid you, he has to swear. So what mechanism is he using? He's using shvur. He's using shvur. And through shvur, what will happen? Through shvur, what will happen through shvur? He'll make a shvur. In fact, the documentary proof is there isn't even a litigation on the basis that he comes with a shtar mekuyim. He comes with a shtar which is not mezuyif, a shtar which is not forged, which is definitely not forged. He comes with an absolutely valid shtar. What verbal argument, what litigation can there possibly be now between the Baal Chayv and between Reuven? What is there to argue about? That's the next thing Rashi has to deal with. The first thing Rashi says is Rashi is dealing with some very real problems in the sugya. The fact that we use the lotion of Mishtoi Dino Bahadeh must mean that there's an argument, that there's litigation. What litigation can there be against a man who has a shtar? A shtar mekuyim. What litigation? What can you say? Perosicho, he says, he has a shtar. Mezuyah, it's mekuyim. What are we going to say against the shtar? That's the purpose of a shtar, to answer all litigation. That there shouldn't have to be litigation. You go and present a check at the bank. A bank guaranteed check at the bank, noch. The teller says, excuse me. You want to cash this check? You say, yes, please. He says, my manager says, we'll meet you in court. What do you mean I'll meet you in court? What's your taina? Doesn't matter what you're saying. Gemara Bava Kama Dav Kesam Ad Beis. That's it. What is the purpose of a check? Do you claim it's mezuyif? Look, it's bank guaranteed. No, not mezuyif. You claim you've already been paid on this check. Has the check been stamped? Do you have a receipt? No. Do you have edim? No. But we'll meet you in court. What kind of nonsense is that? So we'll come to court and the bank manager will get up and say, we're not paying. Why not? We say you've already been paid. Already been paid, so what am I doing with a check without a stamp on it? Nothing? Don't know. Just we didn't stamp it. Mistake. We don't know. But we're sure we paid you already. Says Rashi, they've got to do, at least I have to take a shvur. That's all I can, that they can really be achieved, that I have to take a shvur. Ask Tosfos in Ksuvos. Now what's Tosfos' kasha on that? Oh, and then Moshe Yosef here. You don't need Reuven for that. That's tamah halacha. You can't go and take attached property. Cashing a check is one thing, but if you want to, on the basis of the check, you want to attach the building, the bank's new head office in Rosebank or wherever it is, or in Sandton, for that you need to make a shul. Even without Reuven, it's got nothing to do with Reuven. Comes back the question then, what is Reuven's involvement here for? How is Reuven going to bring about siluk? In a way that Shimon could not have done it. What's the purpose? We say Reuven's getting involved to get him out of that ground. How's he going to get him out of that ground? With Dvorim. What can his Dvorim achieve? At best it can achieve a Shavua. Asks Tosfos and the Numukah Yosef here, but that Shavua can be achieved without him as well, so what is he adding? Let's have a look at the Numukah Yosef inside. The third fat line of the Namukhi Yosef. The Komishtoi Dino Bahade de Balchoiv. So the Namukhi Yosef starts off quoting Rashi. Lesalkoi me'oisoi karko bidavori. He will enter into litigation with the Balchoiv to remove him from that piece of land using a verbal argument, an oral argument. Kegoin, for example, Shiyesh Liruven Shum Tviyo Al Bal Chivoy. We're talking only in a case. I've once pointed out, and I haven't seen enough of it to prove it, but I think there's something in it, that when Rashi uses the word Kegoin, that's not giving an example of one of many possibilities. When Rashi's using Kegoin, he's giving the only example. And he uses Kegoin because you might ask, where's, well, what kind of a Dvorim, what can he possibly say? Kegoin means this is what he could say. And it very often seems to mean the only thing he could say. So we're actually limiting it and saying, this is Mezadok Gon Shiesh Deruven Shum Tviyo Abal Choy Velema Prosicho. The only way that this Gemara can be given effect to is if Reuven has the ability to claim Prosicho, I've paid you out. It seems clear that the Namuki Yosef has a Gusa where Rashi does use Gon. What does our Rashi say? Im Yeshlo. Then it's even better. Im Yeshlo Reuven is certainly that's if Reuven has. And with Yosef, that would in fact give a bit more credence to my theory that Kegoin means Im. Yes. But Shum, any way of saying Prosicho. Setting off, but that's not what Rashi means here. Rashi means here straight Perosicho. If there's any way I can claim Perosicho, Okay, let's bear that in mind and see whether it gets clarified. That's a good point. What is it? Should you say Yeshlo Tviya? Al Bal Chayve Lema Prosicho, the Kaimelon B'Maseches Shvus, the Apagav the Nokit Shtaro, even though he's holding a star, Iomale Ishtavoli, the Le Prosicho, Boy Ishtavui. He can enforce a Shvua on the part of Levi the Bal Chayv. The Afal Gav asked the Nemuki Yosef the Kasha on Rashi. The Haboli Poro Minechosi Meshubodim Lo Yiporo Elo Bishvua. We have a mission in Gittin that says that if you want to take away property, you can't take it without a Shvua. So even without Reuven coming into the picture at all, a Shvua would be required. Answers the Nemuki Yosef. Efsha, it can be explained in the following way. The Shimon potter le mishvua da haboli porosh. Shimon already said, I don't need a shvua from you. In other words, when Levi came, when the Baal Chayv came to take the field away from Shimon, the Beis Din said to Shimon, you have the right to enforce a shvua. And Shimon says, look, shvuas are serious businesses. This is an honorable man. I have no doubt he's telling the truth. I don't need him to take a shvua. I'll go and fight it out with Reuven afterwards. But if that's what he says, he's got a shtar. I accept the shtar. Now Reuven comes and he's angry. He says, but why now you're going to come and claim the field from me? If you would have asked him for a shvua, maybe he wouldn't have made the shvua. Why did you let him get off the shvua? And that's why Reuven might have to give the shvua. That's how the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef answers it, which is the same way as Tosfos and Ksuvos answers it, if I remember correctly. That he was talking in a case where Shimon was Meichel, I don't need the shvua. And Reuven gets upset and says, what right did you have to be Moichel? You're Moichel on my account. You want to be the tzaddik, you don't want to enforce a shvua, all very nice. So you lose the field and now you come to me. So Reuven can get involved in order to get the shvua back again. That's how the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef answers it. Otherwise, what shvua could Reuven possibly be enforcing that Shimon couldn't have enforced himself?
Can Reuven refuse to pay on the highest because he didn't make the shvua?
No, he can just make the shvua. He can now enforce the shvua. That's all he can do. He can now enforce the shvua. Is that what Rashi means? Is the Nemuki Yosef explaining Rashi, or is the Nemuki Yosef being chalik with Rashi? That's what I want to know from you. He seems to be chalik. Why, Barry? Who's bringing another example? A possible case where Rashi's viewpoint makes sense. Well, the only one who could have that tfiyah of Parasicha is Reuven. Reuven is the only one who could have the Parasicha. But you don't need the Tviyah of Perosicho. That's the Mekiyosa's problem. You don't need the Tviyah of Perosicho to enforce a Shvua. So if the only contribution of the Tviyah of Perosicho is the enforcement of a Shvua, you don't need Reuven for that. You don't need the Tviyah. Shimon can simply say, I don't know whether Perosicho or not. All I want is a Shvua. That's the Mekiyosa's kasha. You don't have to come onto the Tviyah. It makes no difference whether you've got a Tviyah or not. Reuven can be overseas. We don't know whether it's been paid, or not. We still have the right to enforce a Shvua. I want to prove from the Loshon of Rashi that he's Cholik, that the Nemuki Yosef and Rashi.
The Shvua could be a false one, a good chance.
Yeah, but that could be either way. Again, that's something that could be either way. If he's a person who doesn't take a Shvua seriously, if it's a Choshud ala Shvua, no, then the Shvua won't help in any case. It's a Choshud ala Shvua. So we must be talking a case where he's not a choshud ala shvua. He's prepared to try and put up a case, but if he's asked to swear, that's a different story. Otherwise, the shvua is playing no role at all in any event.
Maybe
so we're talking about a stam yid who's choshud careful about a shvua. Morris says in several places that people even who will take money, but when it comes to a shvua, they're careful. That they won't do it. Choshud ala shvua.
They use different gemaras to prove. And the Yosef is proving from Gittin, which is a shvua.
And that's for his kasha. He brings the Gemara in Gittin, he brings the Mishnah in Gittin to show that you don't need Reuven for it. That's in his kasha. But you need Gittin, right? Rashi is not asking a kasha. Rashi can't do anything with Gittin. Is a kasha on Rashi. Gittin comes to say that even Shimon can enforce the Shmuel.
Rashi must have known that Gittin is a kasha.
So either Rashi doesn't.
If he would bring
Gittin, he would have to give them Rabbi Yosef's answer. So he's either taking the whole thing for granted, and says either Gemara, either Mishnah, Gittin. So he takes it clearly that you must think of the Rabbi Yosef's answer, or he's avoiding it. But I want you to find in the Loshun of Rashi a raya that you cannot learn Rashi like the Rabbi Yosef. So that's the one case that it's not mashma from Rashi, because Rashi leaves out a very important part. That means we're limited to such a case. This only works where Shimon was Moichel. That should be stated. So that's one time. But there's a stronger proof from the words of Rashi that Rashi cannot be learning like the Nevuka Yosef. The Rebbe Yosef goes into that further, and I want to do that piece where it does make a difference, both to Reuven and to Shimon. It is in both of their interests for Reuven to act. That we'll go into in a moment.
According to Rashi, Reuven has an option to make him swear or not. According to Rebbe Yosef, he doesn't do anything.
Well, we don't know. Rashi might agree with the Rebbe Yosef, just that he doesn't state it. I want to know what words in Rashi we're going to use in order to clarify whether Rashi is learning like the Nebuka Yosef or he isn't.
No.
That's what Reuven would say. That's what Shimon would enforce. Nebuka Yosef is emphasizing the Shvuah that Shimon would enforce. Rashi is talking about the Shvuah which in fact Reuven enforces. But Lamaisa, Rashi might agree that if Shimon enforced it, that would be the Shvuah. What we're questioning is, what does Rashi do with the Nebuka Yosef's question? Does he learn the Pashtus like the Nebuka Yosef answers? Or is the Nebuka Yosef's question no question according to Rashi? And I'm saying that there's something in the words which you're not focusing on. Well, it's no litigation really. The Baal Choyv would come to Beis Din and he would say, Shimon is in a field which is bonded to me, and here is my shtar. The Beis Din would call Shimon in and say, this fellow's got a shtar, he needs to take it. They wouldn't even call Shimon in, they would in fact look at the shtar and issue an authorization to attach the field. However, they would require Levi first to take a shvuah before issuing that. It's not litigation really. Not litigation. It's not Kamishtoy Dina. The only time it's Kamishtoy Dina is when Reuven gets involved, which is Rashi's whole difficulty. So what's the Mishtoy Dina when Reuven gets involved? To make a shvuah, Reuven can do as well. The Beis Din can do without. Shimon can do as well. They can do it without Reuven. According to the Nebuka Yosef, in the Nebuka Yosef's case, in his limited case, what is Reuven doing that Shimon couldn't do? The whole thing. What is Reuven achieving that Shimon couldn't achieve? A shvuah. Shimon couldn't achieve it because he was Moichel already. He once had the right to achieve it. And Rashi and the Nebuka Yosef says, had he exercised that right, then Rashi wouldn't be talking at all, then there would be no case at all. So the Nebuka Yosef's got to say, we're talking about what case where he forwent that right. Now, having forgone that right, Reuven has a contribution to make. But if Shimon would not have forgotten that right, Reuven would have had no contribution to make. So the Nebuka Yosef is remaining with the viewpoint that the contribution of Reuven is what? Is a shvur, which is what Rashi says basically. All that the Nebuka Yosef has done is he has created a scenario where that contribution is relevant by saying that Shimon was Moichel. What does Rashi say is Reuven's contribution? No, just give me words. Just give me words in Rashi. Just quote. No? Look what Rashi says. It's amazing. Chiddush. Reuven can get him out, Shimon can't. That's not what the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef says. The Nebuchadnezzar Yosef says Shimon, Reuven can get a shvua, Shimon can't. Look what Rashi says. Reuven can get him out, Shimon can't. And with what? With words. That's an amazing, that first line in Rashi is the essence of the whole sugi. Tamishtoye dino debal choiv, that's the first chiddush. Rashi's warning you that this is going to be difficult. He says, I'm telling you it's the bal choiv, even though there are a lot of kashas on that. What can there be kamishtoye dino with the bal choiv? What litigation is there between Reuven and the bal choiv? What can he achieve? A lot of kashas, but it is the bal choiv. And if you want to know what he can achieve, it's lesalko meisa karko. He can get that bal choiv out. And if you want to know how, not by paying him. That's an easy way out. Bidvarim, he can get him out. What about Shimon? Shimon can also do it? No. Reuven can enforce a shvur. Ask the Rishonim, Tosfos and the Mikra Yosef, but Shimon can also enforce a shvur? No. Says Rashi, Reuven shvur can get him out of the karka, Shimon shvur can't. Why? Now we're beginning to see a kasha that these two shvuas are not the same. That the shvua that Reuven can enforce and the shvua that Shimon can enforce are not the same kind of shvua. What's the difference between the two? They're both shvuas to Rabbonans, I think.
Practically, is that with Shimon, he's not on the field yet.
Who's not on the field yet?
Balchov.
He is, taking it away. Yeah. Torah, Ato Shimon, Ato Balchov, the Torah, Mishimon.
He
comes with a star from Beis Din. He goes to Beis Din.
At that point, he makes the shvur before he gets the document.
Oh, at that point, he's still in the Beis Din. Okay, and with Reuven, so what difference will that make?
Perfect.
Okay, but Rashi says that he's going to get him out of the field. You're right. Reuven, then Shimon's shvur is even stronger. Shimon can stop him getting into the field. So the Salkum in Asodi, that makes it even more of a chiddush. That means the shvur is even stronger than that. Not Shimon has only got a shvur that can keep him out of the field. Reuven can even get him out of the field. So Rashi holds that these two shvurs, although technically identical, one in terms of their ability to achieve results, the shvur of Reuven is stronger than the shvur of Shimon.
So the shvurs are not the same. The and Baba Basra says that.
That's Tosfos. It's Tosfos Mechalek. That Reuven is a Doraisa and Shimon is not. Does he say that? Does he say that? In fact, okay, very interesting. That's very interesting. And now that's not the point that Rashi is making, though. Then he should say. Then he should say, if it's a Doraisa the Rabbon and different, then he should say, the Baal Chayv lechayva shvur midoraisa. That's what he should say. So it's not the Doraisa aspect that he's worried about. He's not, although it's difficult to know why not, but that would be a good chiluk. Right, so what's an afkimina? He has to look Reuven in the eye. That's an afkimina. There's a difference when you're making a shvua about something which nobody knows. That's just between you and the Ribbono and the Shalom. So if you've got Yirush Shemayim, Taki, you'll tell the truth. But if you haven't got Yirush Shemayim, you'll tell a lie. If Reuven's looking you in the eye, then even if you haven't got Yerushalayim, you might not be able to tell the lie. That's the difference. Which is an amazing chiddush in Hilchos Shvuos as far as Rashi is concerned. That the power of a shvuah is not just a bein odom lemokum. That the shvuah is not just a man-god thing and reliant on Yerushalayim. Part of the shvuah is that you're required to enter into a bond with the Ribbono Shel Olam in the presence of the witness stand, and he takes a shvur. So if he has Yirush Shemayim, he's going to tell the truth. If he doesn't have Yirush Shemayim, it doesn't help. So we're assuming in a court case, obviously, that the man has a degree of Yirush Shemayim. There's some kind of conscience that he's going to tell the truth. Good. Then what does the advocate proceed to do? He starts cross-examining. And then he starts with the drama and taking his glasses on and off and looking over his glasses and under his glasses and using all sorts of things. Why doesn't he just give the witness a form? A multiple choice question to fill out. Please, you're under oath now. Just answer these questions. These are the questions. It will save the court a lot of time. Go home tonight. Answer these questions and bring them home to court tomorrow morning. Let's get on with the next case. Why doesn't he do that? Why all the histrionics? to be able to look him in the eye when he's looking you in the eye, over his glasses and under his glasses, and you've got it under oath, and you don't know quite how much he knows and how much he doesn't know, and what his next question is going to be, and what he's got up his sleeve, and who then what the next witness is going to say, and in front of all these people you've got to say, I swear, that's different. That's Rashi's point. But Reuven has a quality of shvur that he can bring to bear on the case which Shimon cannot possibly, and that quality can be Mesalekim min Asodeh. Shimon shvur might or might not, but Reuven shvur, if he's telling a lie, Reuven shvur can be Mesalekim min Asodeh, because there are very few people who would look Reuven in the eye and say, when Reuven says, I paid you, don't you remember? Yesterday we were standing together at such and such a place and I paid you. Very few people would look him in the eye and with a shvur d'oraisa say, a lie, not true, I never got paid. So he won't take the shvur, it will be Mesalekim min Asodeh from Asodeh, so that's what will be achieved. So now if you learn the Rashi, it reads very well. Depends on the Yerushalayim. Shimon Shmuel would depend entirely on the Yerushalayim of the Baal Chayiv. And by the fact that he's already gone this far and is willing to take a field away from Shimon, we see he's got no Yerushalayim. So what's his Shmuel going to achieve? So it's a Shmuel de Rabbonin, and he's already telling lies, so he'll take the Shmuel. But what could still be Mesalekim is having to look Reuven in the eye. Let's learn the Rashi again. The Kamishtoye Dino Bahadei. He enters into litigation. With whom does he enter into litigation? The Baal Chayiv. He enters into litigation with the Baal Chayiv. And it is litigation. There's going to be an argument, because what does he want to achieve? He wants to get him out of the field. He doesn't want to be mechayiv him a shvur. He wants him out of the field to be mesalik him oisu karko. Bidvorim, and he's using words, because if he was using money, that's not mishtoy dino. If he was using money, that's paying a debt. So it must be using Dvorim. How is he going to get him out of the property with Dvorim in a way that Shimon couldn't do? There's only one way he can do it, and that is if he has a tain of perosicho. The kaimelon, and I think we then have to translate you that shum tviyo, meaning if he has any tviyo whatsoever, meaning not any of a whole lot, but only if he has any tviyo whatsoever where he can say perosicho, that is the only case that he can use Dvorim to get him out. The kaimelon, but the sechashu, even though he's holding a shtar in his hand, I omale ishtavoli. Look at that, ishtavoli. If he says, take an oath to me, not to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to look at you when you take that oath. Deloi perosicho, that I did not pay you. Now it becomes relevant, deloi perosicho, and that you weren't paid out. I want you to swear to me. This is an interpersonal relationship. We're just incorporating the Ribbono Shel Olam's heksher. He's watching. And now with the Ribbono Shel Olam watching and your hand on the Bible and all the other things that go on with the Shvur D'Oraisa, say for Torah out, lights off, candles out, and we make it all dramatic, and I want you to look me in the eye and under those circumstances take a Shvur to me that I didn't pay you. Boy Yishtavu, he has to take that Shvur. Or he has to back out. And says Rashi, that he won't do, even if he's a gun. That he won't do. So what will be the result? He'll be Mesalekim from the Sodeh. Could Shimon have achieved that result? No. That's what Rashi says. And now we see the beauty of Rashi as opposed to Tosus. Just look inside Tosus. Dina hu de'ozer Reuven bekom ishtoy dina ba'adei v'im toyimar Tosus asks the kasha, which Rashi has alleviated. My nafke mine asks Tosus, what can Reuven bring to bear on the case that Shimon can't? Ho kol ma sheyochol Reuven litoin taninen l'shimon. We will argue for Shimon whatever Reuven could have argued, because we realize Shimon is in an disadvantaged situation. He is having to defend a case with facts of which he is ignorant. He doesn't know. Let's say Reuven's overseas or Reuven's dead. Shimon comes along and is about to lose a field, and Reuven might or might not have the money to compensate Shimon with. And Shimon has to say what, and he's got a shtar against him. What are the possibilities with a shtar? The possibilities are they're distant, but it's possible the shtar is mezuyif, it might be a fraud. It's possible that he's been paid already. These are all distant possibilities, but they're there. And Reuven could have argued, Shimon can't. So we will argue for Shimon. Because we, Beis Din, argue for a buyer or for Yosemim for the same reason. Heirs also don't know the facts. So we, Beis Din, have to put every possible argument to try and defend the Lokeach or the Yosemim. Bein Parua, we're going to argue it's already been paid. Bein Mezuyef, we'll argue maybe it's a fraud. And he will have to bring witnesses to certify the signatures. The lavochi, for if that were not so, loishavkis chayim lechol beria, you wouldn't leave any life for anybody at all. Why not? That he could hire a good advocate, and the advocate would tie in all these things for him. Why does Beis Din have to do it? What's the answer? The advocate charges money. He runs into fortunes. All of a sudden, he'll find his legal fees are more than the case itself. That's not chayim. That's not justice. This is Beis Din's job. This is not the job of an advocate. An advocate is acting on behalf of the defendant. Beis Din is acting on behalf of the Ribbono Shel Olam, on behalf of what is emes. And the Ribbono Shel Olam can't allow a situation where just because a man is ignorant of the facts through no fault of his own, he loses his field. We Beis Din have to argue that out, and we will argue that out. So on the basis of that, asks Tosfos, what benefit can there possibly be to bring Reuven into the case? There's nothing that Reuven can argue that we won't argue for him, for Shimon. Says Tosfos, except one thing. There's one thing that Reuven can achieve that Shimon can't. It's true Reuven can tie a mezuyah and we will tie a mezuyah. It's true that Reuven can tie a perosicho and we will tie a perosicho. And it's true that our tie of mezuyah will make him have to bring a day kium. And it's true that our tie of perosicho will have to make him take a shavua. But our tie of perosicho will make him take a shavua anonymously. And Reuven's tie of perosicho will make him take a shavua to Reuven. And that shavua to Reuven has a value which we can't give. There's one thing that Reuven has up his sleeve which Shimon can't possibly have, and that's the presence of Reuven. It's not a technicality and it's not a legal thing, take a shvuah or not take a shvuah, or get a dekium or not get a. It's a qualitative thing. The atmosphere that is created by Reuven's presence, that we can't substitute. Reuven cannot be substituted. And therefore there's something that Reuven's presence can bring to bear on the case which cannot be achieved without him. That's how Rashi learns it. Tosfos, as you know, doesn't. Tosfos goes on to give other differences. Why does Tosfos not answer that? And the Mekki Yosef also doesn't, isn't that so? The Mekki Yosef also doesn't go this way. That's why he says, you must say it's talking in a case where Shimon was Meichel L'Shvur. But if Shimon wasn't Meichel L'Shvur, then there's nothing that Reuven, he agrees, there's nothing that Reuven can bring to bear on it. So it's only Rashi. Rashi's the only one who says this. Why won't Tosfos and the Mekki Yosef go along with Rashi? Right, you're not prepared to attach difference to that, to the qualitative difference. No, shvur is a shvur. And we can't start being mechalek and say stronger shvur and weaker shvur because of the histrionics and the dramatics of the presence of the person. At the end of the day, there's a technical thing here. If it's mezuyah, there's got to be edei kiyum. If the edei kiyum are valid, then these are halachic requirements. The shvur must be taken. If the shvur is taken, then we've got to believe it. We've got to accept it. If not, it's not. Differences in shvurs, there's qualitative differences of shvurs. Tosfos and the Mekki Yosef are not willing to bring into the picture, so we have a major machlokes Rashi and the other Rishonim as to whether a shavua is merely a technique which is laid down the Gzeras HaKosov, which is laid down by the Torah, and there's no psychology involved in it. It basically plays only on the person's Yiras Shamayim and nothing else, or whether there is an interpersonal aspect to shavua as well, and it does play on the psychology of the person. And we can, there are differences in shvuas depending on the dramatic impact in which the shvuah is made. That's a major machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos, and that's the main principle, that's the yesod around which the sugya revolves. What is it that Reuven can bring to bear on the case that Shimon cannot? That's the subject of the sugya.
You reduce it to saying that the Yosef and Tosfos perhaps have more confidence in or belief in man, even the Rabbonin,
No, I think we've got to rather say that the machlokes is whether that nafkemina is relevant in halacha. They look at it like briskas, and Rashi looks at it like Rav Shimon Shkof. There's a shvur. The man took the shvur, then it's a gzeras HaKosov that you've got to follow it. It's not a question of whether we believe him or not. The halacha doesn't devolve, it's like Edim. If Edim telling a lie or not, it's not our business to know whether Edim are telling the truth. If we've gone down the halachas of cross-examining Edim, the halacha is we've got to do what the Edim tell us to do. That's the halacha. And here too, a man takes a shvur, the halacha is you've got to give it to him. It makes no difference what, as long as the shvur was taken correctly, there's no difference in degree of shvur, except the Reis and the Rabbonin. Rashi says no. The shvur is, the purpose of the shvur is to extract the truth. And Reuven's will be more effective in extracting the truth than Shimon. It's a machlokes in the basic principle of the meaning and functioning of a shvur. That's why Rashi emphasizes this. Ishtavo li deloy perosicha. I want you to swear to me that I didn't pay you. It's a completely different shvur from you have to swear that you have not been paid. Completely different shvur. And that's why very often you don't even have to get onto a shvur. If you're negotiating with somebody or arguing with somebody and you suspect he's telling you a lie, and you just say to him, I want you to look me in the eye and say that again. What does the person very often do? Either he says, sorry, I need to withdraw that or modify it, or he turns aside and he says it again. You say, I want you to look me in the eye. I said, not turn aside. And he looks the other way. It's very difficult to look a person in the eye and to tell a lie. It's very difficult. You have to be very, very highly trained in acting to be able to do that. This is what the Pnei Yeshua, this is how the Pnei Yeshua learns Rashi. And I want you to see in this how an Achron learns a Rashi and how one has to learn a Rashi and how one needs the Achronim in order to understand the Rashis. And I just want to do that, the Pnei Yeshua, very quickly inside, and then you can chazer it afterwards. If you want to just take copies. You might at least share Pnei Yeshua, so you can make more copies afterwards. Is it just the one or do you get both columns? Understand? Thanks a lot. I'll be able to go through the Pnei Yeshua fairly quickly with you now because you've got the facts and you can then chazer it inside. Shouldn't be different. Chesom Beis, the page numbers might be different. I doubt that even. Chesom Beis. Just different layout of pages. Down at the bottom of the first column, Beferush Rashi b'dibur amaschil v'kol b'shtoye dino. Im yesh lo yishum tviya al balchoy v'y lo yimah perosicho the kaimelon b'matzeche shvues the afal gav dino k'tshtaro v'chuli. That's it. Up to there the Pnei Yeshua is quoting Rashi. Says the Pnei Yeshua, v'adai d'loy ne'elam me Rashi. Clearly Rashi was not ignorant. She'af b'loyta anosoy, that even without Reuven's claim, mechuyov lishovo neged halakuchos, the Baal Choyv would be obligated to take a shvua apropos of Shimon. Shezeh poshut b'mishnah, because that is a clear mishnah in Gittin. So you can't say that Rashi didn't know that. That's out of the question. Elo de'iker kavonos Rashi le'yashev haloshun mishtoye dino b'adeh. Rashi's main contribution to the sugya is to clarify the words mishtoye dino b'adeh. De'loitakshi she'en Shimon sorich lashiv l'ruven klum. You might ask, what kind of litigation? Reuven does not have to defend himself. Litigation usually is an accusation followed by a defense. If Reuven is going to come along and say prosicha, what is Shimon going to say? No, what is Levi going to say? By the way, this is a mistake. The Shimon here should be, for Shimon, read Levi. A rather confusing mistake, but a mistake it is. But a mistake it is. Sorry? The Lord says, she'en Levi tzorech lahashiv l'Reuven klum. Levi doesn't have to answer Reuven. It's like the man at the teller in the bank. What do you mean? Perosicho. Here's the check. Cash it. There's nothing to do. So Reuven, Levi has a shtar. Shimon's going to go to Beis Din and say, one second, not so simple. You're a shtar. Perosicho. What is Levi's going to laugh at him? He has a shtar mekuyim. Akach pirish Rashi dati shapish sheyesh l'Reuven atzmoy litoin perosicho. Nevertheless, Rashi points out it is proper for Reuven to claim perosicho, because he can be mechayev a shvua. There is something to do in Beis Din. There is a reason to go to Beis Din. He can be mechayev a shvua. Aval inyan anafkusa baladi ketuva. Why he rather than Shimon? That there are many reasons. Kamoshi kosva Tosfos. There you can go into all sorts of side reasons which Tosfos has discussed. Ve'oid yesh lema. Here's this important part of the. In fact, the important part of the Yeshua is what we've just done. That's where the Yesod is laid down. But following on that, we can now go further. Denapkimin elinyan shetzorich Shimon, again, read Levi. Shetzorich Levi lishova bifnei Reuven v'ulay yizbayish. The napkimina is that Reuven has to take that Levi has to take that shvua in the face of Reuven, and maybe he will not have the guts, he'll be ashamed. Mashein keini avi amrinan she'en tanas Reuven maskike lishvua. And that would not be the case if we said that Reuven's involvement would not obligate a shvua. Lo yotzorich lishova befonov. He wouldn't have to take the Shvuah in the presence of Reuven. He could tell Reuven to clear out of Beis Din. What are you doing here? Shvuah, I'll take a Shvuah to Shimon. It's got nothing to do with you. And that's why Rashi emphasizes that he has to take a Shvuah if Reuven says, Ishtava li, I want the Shvuah to me. I'm not satisfied with the Shvuah you're going to give Shimon. I want you to take that Shvuah to me. That's Rashi's Chiddush. But he has no way out of that Shvuah li, that Shvuah to him as an individual. That's the Tnei Yeshua. Now go and figure out how you can learn a piece of Gemara without understanding it fully. I just want to make one further point before I finish with the sugya, because I want to move on to the next week, Yemetz Hashem, to the next Gemara. And that is in the Ikad Amri. The Ikad Amri afilu shaloi ba'achrayus nami. Some say that even if there's no indemnity, that he can still obligate her, he can still say, I'm a factor, and Reuven must or may still get involved. The omar le loy nichali detevi l'shimun tarumis alai. Because Shimon says, you're right, Reuven says to Levi, you're right, I have no material interest. Even if you take the field away from Shimon, I will not have to pay. But nevertheless, I do have an interest, although not material, that Shimon will have tarumas on me. The buyer will have a taina against me, a moral taina, not a legal taina. He'll have a faribul. How much of a faribul is a faribul? That's what I want to know. At what point do we have to worry about tarumas? At what point does the fear of tarumas give rise to material interest? For example, what will happen if I give a present of a field to you? I cut you and I say, somebody gives us a present. Example I gave, Jack Abramov gives us a house next door. Present. And we're very grateful. But no achrayus. He says, look, I'm involved in various litigations and things. He says, you know, it shouldn't be a problem, but so we have nothing to lose. We keep it for a while and the Baal Chayiv comes and takes it away. And there's a court case, we want to be Mechayiv Shvuah at least. And Jack says, one second, I want that Shvuah in my presence. I want them to take a Shvuah in my face that they haven't been paid. I'm coming out. He comes out. And the creditors say, excuse me, Mr. Abramov, you have no material interest in this case. You donated the property, this is between us and Gedder Torah. Says Jack, what is it? Do I need a dirty name with Gedder Torah? I gave them a property and it gets taken away. Tarumas. Who's right? Has Jack Abramov got a taina, a valid taina, or not? Is he an interested party or isn't he? Tarumas. I don't want people to for the rest of their lives they'll remember he's the guy who gave us a property and it was taken away.
Well, in the case of the Gemara, Reuven might come down for the business.
So would Jack Abramov.
But that was a pure gift.
But he could still lose out. Would you be happy then of buying any further property from such a person? Certainly Shaloi Ba'achrayus. But still, you won't suffer as a result of that. The only suffering is if nobody will buy from you. If nobody will take your gifts, there's nothing lost.
No, that's what I'm saying. So if a gift turns out sour,
I'm asking you: would you buy from Jack? Would you enter into property deal shaloi b'achrayus without indemnity from Mr. Abramov if this house next door got taken away from by the creditors? You wouldn't bother. You would enter into property. You invest money. You would invest in property. You wouldn't bother you at all. Shaloi b'achrayus. If Harry Oppenheimer sold you a building in Main Street, Shaloi b'achrayus, would you be worried about it? Would you say, "I want indemnities"? I wasn't asking you, Des. I was asking. I know you wouldn't. There's no question that damages the credibility, and that's the meaning of tarumas. I want you to look at the Rambam. You'll see the Rambam adds two words, and says lo nichali detevi tarumas olai, and I don't remember the exact lotion. I think it's kivan shehifsid, because he suffered a loss. There are faribles and there's faribles. There's a farible where I lost money because of you. I've got no legal claim on you, but I want you to know that you did caused me a loss of money. while you were busy nudniking me, I lost the deal. I can't claim anything on you, but you should know that. A faribul where there's no material loss, those are the faribuls you don't have to take terribly much notice of. Faribul, while I was busy talking to you, my granny came to the door and I missed her. Okay, fine, okay, it's not the... That's got nothing to do with it. This is a tarumus, is a tarumus with material loss. And if you look at the Ramo on the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see the Ramo brings the case of the gift as a nafkimina. Once, because the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam, and the Ramo adds, and therefore, if it was given as a gift, the tarumus is not valid because there was no loss suffered. The tarumus has to be with a loss. So check up, in other words, what you've got to do now is chazer the Rashi, the Nemuki Yosef, and the Fnei Yoshua with the Tosfos. You also need to look at the Rambam inside and at the Shulchan Aruch inside. That will just take you a few minutes to see it clearly. And the last thing that I would like you to do is the bottom part of the Nemuki Yosef, where in the bottom part of the Nemuki Yosef disagrees with Rashi and says that Reuben can be Mesalekim from the field with money as well. What's the problem? And I'll just take a few minutes to explain that to you. What's our problem then? How can the Nemuki Yosef say that? What would be our kasha on the Nemuki Yosef? If he says L'salkum in Asod, it's not only Bidvorim, but the moment also he can pay. So what's our kasha on that? Where's litigation? Where's Mishtoi Din Abadeh? So the Nemuki Yosef creates a case of litigation. And he says there's enough kimina. For example, listen to the case. The field is worth 1,000 rand. In the days where fields used to be able to be bought for 1,000 rand. Reuven's field is sold to Shimon. Shimon then spends another 500 on improvements. It's now worth 1,500. But those improvements make the field worth not 1,500 but 2,000. Which is what one usually does improvements for, to make the property now worth more than the total cost. Levi comes and takes the property away. For how much debt? How much is Levi owed?
1,000.
How much does he have to compensate Shimon for? 500. He says, but you spent 500 on it. The field was bonded to me. The original field, worth 1,000. So I take the field. You spent an extra 500 on the field. I've got to reimburse you for your 500. Shimon now goes back to Reuven. How much does he claim from Reuven? He claims 1,500. The 1,000 of the field plus the 500 of the value of the field which he was not compensated for by Levi. Because he says, I bought the field to invest in, to build up. I had a field worth 2,000 which because of your default I lost. And I've only been paid 500 for that field. Right? So irrespective of what I invested in it, I've lost 2,000 rand as a result of you because my field could have been sold for 2,000. So Reuven would have to compensate him 1,500. If he pays Levi directly, how much does he compensate him? 1,000. So what is Reuven going to want? What is Levi going to want? He's going to want the field. He doesn't want Reuven to pay him out. Right? Why has he got a claim? Explains in the Nemuki Yosef, because this field was an apotiki. An apotiki means that this specific field was tied to the debt. An apotiki means that I can't give you anything else. If I don't pay you, you take the field. And in the case of an apotiki, if the field gets sold on and Reuven can't pay, Shimon does not have the option to pay in an apotiki case. I don't know how it works with our bonds, whether it would work the same way. But with an apotiki, if I borrow money from you and I say this particular property is the apotiki and I then sell that property, then if I don't pay you, you take that property, no matter what. The buyer does not have the option to settle in cash with you. Only the original debtor can settle in cash with you. Okay? So now what would happen? Shimon would come along, Levi would come, and he would see an opportunity. He goes to Reuven for the money. Reuven hasn't got the money. So he goes to Shimon and he takes the field. Now Reuven realizes he's in for an extra 500. So Reuven goes straight to Levi, and he says, I'll settle the debt with you. Levi says, I don't want you to settle the debt with me. Litigation. That's a case of litigation even with Mormon. Rashi doesn't. Rashi goes only Bidvorim. Rashi says that could be for many reasons. Rashi doesn't want to restrict it into such a peculiar case. There could be many reasons why Rashi doesn't regard that as what the Gemara is talking about. So there are two machlokes in the Nemuki Yosef and Rashi, therefore. The one is whether it's only Bidvorim or also Bemomen. And if it's Bidvorim, whether you've got to come onto the Nemuki Yosef, say Chetimta of Reuven having been Moichel, or whether you can learn it like Rashi, that Reuven has a power which Shimon doesn't have. That's the power of his presence. which can be mesalik the Baal Choy from the Sodeh, then the Mekir Yosef Lactosius is not prepared to consider that difference as valid. A Shvuah is a Shvuah, and we're not interested in the different qualities of the different Shvuahs. That's the Sugi of Gemara which we've got here. He might then not have had the money and now he has, or he might not have realized the consequences. When it comes to the Maisa, he realizes he's going to lose an extra 500, he goes and borrows. He can even borrow the money from Shimon. So it's in your interest also.
The concept of what a shimut is. Surely shimut is the value of 1,000 men. So the property now is a market of 2,000 men. If you have 1,000 men with a property, you must compensate for the payment.
Not with an apotheke. Not with an apotheke. An apotheke is this field, as it originally was, is mine. That was the thing. What the market value of the field is not with an apotheke, that doesn't come into it. An apotheke means this field is for this chayv. So he wouldn't have to pay for the shvach. In other words, leaving aside, and Mekir Yosef brings that as well, leaving aside a case where he invested more in the property, merely if the market value went up. So with a normal shibit, then economy, you've got to sell the field and take the value of the property and return the rest. But with an apotheke, you take the field. Yeah. There are many kinds of apotheke, yeah. It's a Greek word. Which means what? Is that what it means, actually? I want to learn it as a bit of a Hebrew, but it's a good word. It comes from Hebrew. Apoiteki, yeah, apoiteki. In their time, it might be much more. Let's look at that. If there was no minag in the city, but most people come from a place where there was a minag, we go after the minag of the place from whence they come. That's why in South Africa, these dinim, by the way, are not only for minagim in this matter, but this is minhagim in general. This is one of the makoras for the whole question of what constitutes a minag. That's why in South Africa, since roiv people come from Lithuania, the whole country should go. It is wrong, really, unless a kehila maybe keeps itself very, very separate, but really the whole, that's where the roiv people come from, and therefore the universal minag has to be minag lita. There's no place really for the hisgodedus people coming here and starting their own minhagim. There's no basis for it. You want to come here and for yourself keep your own minhagim, that's fine. But since the roiv people, what you've got to do, if the place doesn't have a minag, some of the people tell you, South Africa is only less than 100 years old, what kind of minhagim do they have? The people who came weren't from. In any case, the chnei minhagim, not so. Then you look where they came from. Where they came from is the minhag which has to be fixed in the town throughout. Holoch mimochim shenagu lahashkim ulahariv, the mochim shenagu shloi lahashkim ulahariv. If he came from a place where the minhag was to start early, and he went to a place where the minhag was not to start early or go late, or ipcho azlinen boso hamochim shesocho sham hapoyalim. Then we go after the place where the contract was entered into. What's that called in law? The loki contractors, is that what it's called? Is that why you have to sign all these things, where you have to fill out all these addresses on the contracts? That's something else. Ve'enoi kori minag elodover hashchiach v'naseh harbe pa'amim. What is a minag? Says the Ramo, a minag is something which crops up frequently and several times has been conducted in a particular way. Those two things. You can't make a minag out of something which crops up once in a yovel. But if something crops up regularly and each time it crops up it's handled in a particular way, that becomes the minag. But something which happens once or twice, eino kori minag, that's not considered a minag. There's just this you don't have in front of you, it's in the tour, just a nice little thing that it's worth noticing. A Ramon on the tour. Those of you who have a tour, you've only got the second page of the tour, which we'll look at in your session next week. Oh, there won't be a shoe next week. When will the next shoe be? La Sessi Mechuva. The Darkei Moshe says, brings in the name of the Mordechai. The mutter le odom lahaskir es atzmoi ve'ena over al kili b'nei Yisrael avodim. Number one, that from all this you might think that it's so onerous is one's responsibilities to a balabos, that where's your time, where's your freedom, and maybe one's over in fact kili b'nei Yisrael avodim. Says the Mordechai, no, it's mutter. One is allowed to hire oneself up, but look, you need a heter for it. Actually, a heter to take on a job for somebody else, to work for somebody else, because it's such avdus. She'eino shayach elo be'eved ivri mamish. That isur is an absolute by eved ivri. V'cheinu ba'agos and so on. V'chosu sham v'yesh li'izor l'sefer ol melamed o sh'ar ba'al imelochus laskir atzmo li'yos b'veis ba'al habayis b'keva v'somuch al shulchonui gimul shonim. However, one has to be careful not to hire oneself out as a teacher or a sefer or whatever in a way where one stays with the balabos in his home and eats at his table for 3 years, mishum kili b'nei Yisrael avodim. That's already an isur of kili b'nei Yisrael avodim. To take on a job with a person where you're actually living in his house and you're total loss of independence for a period of 3 years or more, one has been over the isur of kili b'nei Yisrael avodim.
10 hours a day, you're a king in your own home.
Yeah, at least you're this going home from after tesek yichovim, it's your own time. Also, it's interesting. What if you travel to work is the cheshbon of the balabos? What are you supposed to be doing on the bus? You should be planning your day's work. You shouldn't be learning your Gemara. You've got no right to learn your Gemara, to sit and chazal your Gemara on the bus. It's his time. You should already be planning your day's work. On the way home, that's a bit of Torah if you're thinking of your day's work. When you come home, you should be preparing your shiur already.
There's another issue too. What happens if you're late for work? You can say that I left at the right time. There was a problem with the bus. It got stuck for an hour and a half.
Yes. On the way to work, you can, the traffic jam is of Tamonas. You left at the right time. You didn't leave later than Nate's. Then whatever time you get to work. No. No. So you've got to leave Nate's. Sorry?
Isn't this talking about a situation where the people at their agricultural holdings just outside of town? It was a matter of 10, 15 minutes. It's like in a kibbutz. You leave the dining room to go out to the orange grove, and
it may be
10 minutes away.
Rashi says Leir. Rashi says there's a town, there's a city, and there's working outside, and they used to go by ox cart, but not by modern automobiles. We see it takes about as long as Alus Hashachar to Neitz Hachamo. We see in Tosfos that's about 40 minutes. So it's the same kind of commuting time that we have today. The time hasn't changed. People live further away because they've got faster communication, faster transport. But Lamaisa, people tend not to try not to live more than 45 minutes, an hour is already a long time to anywhere for any type of person. It's a long shlep.
What's the thing with firing the
It's next to the Tusi Manu.
Because if you're unhappy with the conditions,
why don't
you just fire
him? That's the next simon. Both ways. Rabbeisai, so we will finish the simon. What I want to do is, there's a little piece of Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef brings some lovely cases, and the one that you've been focused on, the last pieces of Beis Yosef, brings some cases off the subject, but they have their roots in the simon. And in Chesh Mishpat, there's a lot of that kind of thing, where you've actually got to deduce all sorts of other cases from the Yosoides here. So he brings some lovely cases. The one that we're going to deal with which the Ktzos HaChoshen deals with briefly, is a person who is sent on a journey. So I take a man, a traveler, and I ask him to go and sell goods for me in another town. And I tell him I will pay him 10% of his sales. And he comes back afterwards and he says, my expenses were X and my 10% comes to Y, please pay up. And I say, your expenses, I didn't, that was included in the 10%. What is the story then? Can I say, but you know, normally travelers only get 7%. Didn't you realize that I was paying you 10% because I wasn't paying you expenses? That's one of the side issues which the Beis Yosef brings and which the Ktzos HaChoshen deals with. A couple of other interesting ones. Shatchon's guilt comes in here. At what point is there an entitlement for Shatchon to say that I'm entitled to a fee for what I've done and so on? That has its origins in this simon. So we'll just touch on that in that Beis Yosef, and we'll do this bit of Ktzos HaChoshen. We'll finish the simon, which won't take us long, and then we'll go into Shin Lamed Beis. And Shin Lamed Gimel, we'll leave out Shin Lamed Beis.
Yeah.
can you make up that? Sure.
I just wanted to ask a question.